Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 4, the appearance of Sri Narada, text 15 and 16. You can see that text 15 had a very short purport. Therefore, we are going on to the text 16. So I'll just read through the text 15, the verse in the translation, and then go to the text 16. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Once upon a time, he, Vasudev, as the sun rose, took his morning ablution in the waters of the Saraswati and sat alone to concentrate. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The river Saraswati is flowing in the Badrik Ashram area of the Himalayas. So the place indicated here is Samaprash, Badrik Ashram, where Sri Vasudev is residing. Vasudev is still residing, therefore Prabhupada is saying, where Sri Vasudev is still residing. Text 16, this is the one that has been written on the board and we'll discuss about that. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Vasudev saw anomalies in the duties of the millennium. This happens on the earth in different ages due to unseen forces in the course of time. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sages like Vasudev are liberated souls, and therefore they can see clearly past and future. Thus he could see the future anomalies in the Kali age. And accordingly he made arrangements for the people in general so that they can execute a progressive life in this age, which is full of darkness. The people in general in this age of Kali are too much interested in matter, which is temporary. Because of ignorance, they are unable to evaluate the assets of life and be enlightened in spiritual knowledge. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chukshurun Militang Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Sthapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shibarshadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Paravaragya Sarishi Kalena Vyaktaran Hasa Jugadharma Vyatikarang Praptang Bhubi Juge Juge. The great sage Vasudev saw anomalies in the duties of the millennium. This happens on earth in different ages due to unseen forces in the course of time. So Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam's appearance is being described. Vasudev, who could see past, present and future, Paravaragya, one who could see the past, present and future. They are also known as Trikalagya or Trikaladarshi. Common people can see only the present, but a self-realized soul can see the time in these three aspects, past, present and future. And he could see, although Kali Yuga did just about to begin, Krishna left the planet, Dwapar Yuga ended, and Kali Yuga began. And Vasudev could see what's going to happen in the age of Kali. And one thing that he considered is that there'll be the massive propagation of adharma, yuga dharma vyatikaram, the anomalies of the yuga dharma. Dharma actually indicates, dharma, the word dharma has got two connotations. One connotation of dharma is that the laws that has been given by the Lord. Dharmam tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. Just as the government gives the law, or a king gives the law, similarly the Supreme Personality of Godhead also gives the law. That is how one should act. And the laws are there to establish peace and prosperity in the society. So in order to establish proper peace and prosperity in the human society, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives the law. And when we abide by that law, those laws, then we enjoy our situation. Those laws given by the Lord had been elaborated by Manu, the forefather of mankind, the originator of mankind, Manu. From Manu, the word Manava came, Manu's offsprings. And from that also we can see the English word man or human beings have been derived. It's all coming from Manu. So Manu gave the law for mankind in Manu Samhita. And these laws are how one should act. And these laws have been originally established by the Lord Himself. That's one aspect of dharma. And the other aspect of dharma, the other connotation of dharma is to become situated in our constitutional position. Like every substance has its inherent characteristic. And that is the dharma of the substance. For example, wherever there is fire, there is bound to be light and heat. So light and heat are the dharma of fire. Dharma of fire, light and heat, dharma of fire, to burn. Similarly, liquidity is the dharma of water. So that's why Prabhupada always pointed out that dharma doesn't indicate just religion. The word religion has been totally misconstrued in this age, thinking that religion means some faith. You are a Hindu, this is your faith. I'm Muslim, this is my faith. Or I am a Christian, this is my faith. No, dharma means the inherent characteristic of a substance. And we are spiritual beings. And the dharma of a spiritual being is to become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the means to become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is love. It's love that unites, hatred separates. So if we want to become connected to the Lord or united to the Lord, then our heart has been provided with the faculty of love, the ability to love. And when the love is offered to the Lord, then we become connected to Him. So what is the dharma of a jiva or a living entity? To become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why this dharma is indicated as Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan means eternal. The jivas are eternal, therefore his dharma is also eternal. Eternal religion. So in that respect we can also consider in the Vedas, two kinds of dharmas have been also indicated in that respect. One dharma is naimittik dharma, the other is a nitya dharma. When it comes to living entities have their material designations. This body is the means to be situated in this material world and function in the material world, and we get different types of bodies. And those bodies have specific dharmas. So, but the body is temporary, therefore this dharma of the body is also temporary. But the spirit soul is eternal, therefore the dharma of the soul is eternal. How to become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, for different ages, different dharmas have been given. Satya Yuga, the dharma is Krite Jadhyate Vishnu. Meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is residing in the heart, and a living entity is to withdraw his senses and project his consciousness internally to the core of his heart, and he used to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was the means of seeing the Lord or establishing one's relationship with the Lord in the Satya Yuga. Then in Satya Yuga, then with time, like Kalena Ramhasa, Kalena, with the influence of time, the ability of living entities also differ. In Satya Yuga, the living entities were very, very pure. Therefore, they could perceive the Lord in the heart directly. But with the passing of time, they lost that ability. With the passing of time, they became contaminated. That's the influence of the material nature. The influence of the material nature is that it affects the individuals by its own influence. It becomes materially motivated. Satya Yuga people were very, very spiritually astute. But then in Treta Yuga, they started to lose that quality. They started to get contaminated. With the passing of time, Satya Yuga gradually came to Treta Yuga. Living entities lost their ability to perceive the Lord in the core of their hearts. And therefore, another kind of Yuga Dharma was given. That was sacrifice. Sacrifice. And through the sacrifice, when one used to achieve his perfection, the Lord used to appear through the sacrifice, through the sacrificial fire. He used to manifest himself, and this is how the performers could see. But in Dwapara Yuga, people lost that ability also. Therefore, the Yuga Dharma for Dwapara Yuga is given as worshipping the deities in the temple. Krite jadhyate Vishnu, tretayam jajate makhau, dvapare paricharjayam. In Dwapara Yuga, paricharjayam, worshipping the Lord in the temple. And kalau tad hari kirtanad. The Yuga Dharma of the age of Kali is chanting the whole congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So this is how different ages have different ways to achieve or develop one's relationship with the Lord and achieve perfection. But Vyasadeva could see that in Kali Yuga people don't perform their religious activities. That means they won't be inclined towards their spiritual development. They won't be inclined towards developing their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So seeing their condition, Vasudev decided to present the teachings of the Vedas in a simplified way. And he arranged class, like Vedas in other ages were just in one body. But Vasudev divided them for the age of Kali. Rig, Sham, Jaju, Atharva. Then he gave Itihash. Itihash actually came at the end. Puranas, Upanishad, Dharma Shastras, Samhitas. So he presented everything in a systematic way. And then for less intelligent class of people, he gave the history. And in the history, or Mahabharata, he gave the spiritual instructions, like Bhagavad Gita, presented in Mahabharata, in Bhishma Parva. And through the stories of Mahabharata, through the narrations of Mahabharata, he led people to recognize what should be the goal of life. And the goal of life is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Veda ischa sarvair ahameva vedya. In all the Vedas, Krishna alone is to be known, vedya. Veda means knowledge, and the goal of all knowledge is to understand Krishna, recognize Krishna, and develop one's relationship with Krishna. So this is how Vasudev presented, simplified way he presented the spiritual knowledge. Actually, Vasudev did consider, and it's a natural development also, like the Vedas are not saying just give up everything and just develop your loving relationship with Krishna. The Vedas did consider, Krishna did consider, that the living entities initially will have the tendency to enjoy in this material nature. The tendency to enjoy in this material nature is inherent in living entities. So he gave the Karmakanda section. In the Karmakanda, he gave the instruction how to enjoy. Like, Karmakanda sections of the Vedas are giving the prescriptions, how to fulfill desires. Everybody wants to be happy, and the way to become happy is by fulfilling desires. When the desires are fulfilled, one becomes happy. When the desires are not fulfilled, one is sad. So Vedas, like a desire tree, is giving the opportunities to fulfill all our desires. Okay, you want to be rich? Do this. You want to be a king? Yes, you can become a king. These are the prescriptions. You are still not satisfied. You want to become the monarch. Fine. You want to become the ruler of the entire earth planet. Fine. You want to become the you want to be elevated to the heavenly planet. Fine. You want to become the king of heavenly planet. Fine. So Vedas, Karmakanda sections are giving the opportunities to fulfill all our desires. So that's the Karmakanda section. But in spite of fulfilling all our desires, at one point an intelligent person recognizes that in spite of all his endeavors to be happy, he is still not happy. In spite of all his endeavors to be happy, he is still suffering. Although he doesn't want misery, uninvited miseries come. Then he begins to wonder, why is that? Okay, in the karma, going back to the Karmakanda section again, we have to recognize that Vedas are actually giving the indication that, look, act in the right way. If you act in the right way, then you'll enjoy. If you act in a wrong way, you will suffer. And that right action is actually the prescriptions of Karmakanda section. And it's a part of dharma. Mm. Like, this is the aspect of dharma, artha, kama, moksha aspect. Mm. Fine, you want to enjoy, but act in a right way. For example, one may think that if he gets a lot of money, he'll be happy. And he robs a bank. Mm. And then, although he got the money, but he ends up in the prison. So wrong action doesn't lead to enjoyment, but suffering. Whereas when one acts in the right way, that action automatically leads to happiness. So that's the first aspect of the Vedic injunctions, Karmakanda. And then in spite of all his endeavors to enjoy, when he realizes that he's suffering, then he begins to wonder, why I'm suffering? So that actually made him transcend the Karmakanda section and come to the Gyanakanda section, knowledge aspect, why I'm suffering? And then Gyanakanda gradually leads him to the point of liberation. Liberation from material bondage, recognizing that this material nature is a place of suffering. It's a place of, the Gyanakanda is actually lead one to understand that this material nature is a place of suffering, that Krishna very simply pointed out, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. The real nature of this material nature is dukkhalayam, a place of suffering. And this material body is an instrument to suffer. Jantra rudhani mayaya. It's a body, the body is an instrument to receive pain. And this has been very nicely explained in a branch of philosophy called naya, logic. Take any part of your body, no matter how insignificant, and consider in how many ways you can inflict pain to that part. Take the earlobe. Considering how many ways you can give pain to this earlobe. You can take a knife, cut it. Take some fire, burn it. Take a hammer, smash it. So many ways to inflict pain upon this insignificant part. Now you consider how many ways you can give pleasure to this. And this actually applies, this principle applies to every single part of your body. Now you tell me, is what this body is meant for? This body is an instrument to receive pain. Now you consider, you are in a place that is meant for suffering, in a body that is meant for receiving pain. What else can you expect? But Krishna has given us a wonderful faculty also, that's called intelligence. With this faculty of intelligence, we learn how to avoid the painful situation. So, although it is Jai Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki Jai, Jai Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai, Jai Shri Gaur Nitai ki Jai. So, yes, the intelligence actually directs us. Don't do that because you'll receive pain. Oh, there is fire, don't touch it. There is different ways that you may be subjected to pain, so avoid that. So we're constantly avoiding the painful situations with our intelligence. But otherwise, it's actually a very, 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 very unfortunate situation that we are in. in a place of suffering in a body that is meant for receiving pain. Then when you realize that this is a place of suffering, what will be the natural tendency? To get out of here. This is a place of suffering. I don't want to be here. Therefore, Gyanakanda is leading to liberation. Karmakanda section is giving bhukti or enjoyment, tendency or endeavors for enjoyment. And Gyanakanda is leading to mukti or liberation. But then the consideration comes, even after being liberated, in that situation we have to do something. And there comes this consideration of whether to enjoy here or whether to become liberated. But then what? An example for that is that a prisoner, when he is in prison, he thinks that then his whole objective is how to get out of the prison. And, okay, again, that leads us to another point. One can get out of the prison in two ways. One is he can dig a tunnel out of the prison and escape. But if he does that, then although he'll be out of the prison, but his condition is going to be very, very critical. The police will be after him. He'll have constantly had to hide. At least in prison he had a place to sleep and food to eat. But now he doesn't even have a place to sleep and food to eat. So that kind of escaping from the prison is not the proper way. This is the negative way of getting out of the prison. And the positive way of getting out of the prison is recognize why you are in the prison. A criminal recognizes that he is in the prison because he committed a crime. What is the crime? The crime is he broke the law. That's why he ended up in the prison. And he recognizes that he made a mistake by breaking the law. So he appeals to the king. The prisoner appeals to the king. I'm sorry, I broke your law, I committed a crime, I defied your authority and supremacy. So I'm sorry, I promise that I'll never do that. I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Then when the king gets to know about that, then the king can free him in no time. When a prisoner appeals to the king releases him, recognizing that his mentality has been corrected. This is a prison house, and this is a prison house of this material nature is compared to a prison house where we, the living entities who broke the law of the king of the kings, Krishna, recognizing that, we surrender unto him. And when we surrender unto him, then we start to progress towards becoming liberated or freed from this bondage. So there are two ways. One is without recognizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when we try to become liberated from this material bondage, we may get out of this material world in a way, but our situation is going to become even worse. This point has been made in a very nice way that desiring to become liberated, when one makes an endeavor performing all kinds of austerities and penances. He may be elevated to almost to the spiritual domain, but he falls down to the material nature. Patanti adha anadrita jushmadangraya. Je anna aravindaksha. Je anna aravindaksha bimukta maninas. Mukti means liberation. Bimukta manina means desiring to become liberated. Disregarding the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Je anna aravindaksha. Bimukta maninas, desiring to become liberated, disregarding the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arujya krichena param padam tata. He may become elevated to the param padam, the supreme position. He may reach to that domain, but patanti adha, he falls down. Why? Because he disregarded the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So just as I gave the example, that disregarding the authority of the king, one tries to get out of the prison by digging a tunnel or by some other such means, then apparently he may get out of this prison house, but his situation is going to become even worse, and eventually he is going to be arrested and his term of imprisonment is going to become even worse. But the simple way, the decent way, and the easiest way, just surrender to the king. Okay, we made a mistake. We broke his law. We disregarded his authority. I learned my lesson. I don't want to do that again. I promise that I won't do that. And that is the right way. So actual dharma is teaching us this object. Surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's where you find in Bhagavad Gita the final instruction, just surrender unto me. And then what will be the benefit for doing that? Ahang tvang sarva papebhya moksha ishami. The pap or sinful reactions are the cause of our material imprisonment. Our crime or our the reason for our sentence of being imprisoned in this material nature is our sinful reactivities. And the ultimate sin is to disregard the authority of Krishna or break the laws that have been given by Krishna. So when you surrender, then Krishna says, okay, fine, dismissed. All the crimes are now absolved. Then the question arises, but then does one become liberated immediately? No. The prison authorities continue to watch him. The king, after receiving that appeal from the prisoner, reports to the prison authorities. Watch this character. It seems to be improving. You watch. And they watch and they see that, yes, this person is actually acting in the right way. So they start to give him different types of facilities. Eventually, he is not treated like a prisoner anymore. Rather, they present him as a role model to the other prisoners that follow him, see how he is doing. And the benefits that he is getting, you will also get the same benefit. And the person who was one time a prisoner, at that time also he's apparently a prisoner, he goes and tells everybody, look, you know, what I did is I appealed to the king. And ever since I did that, the prison authorities are treating me in a different way. And I'm getting all these facilities. So why don't you also do that? So this is how, when one surrenders unto Krishna and becomes situated in a right, positive way, in a proper way, then he begins to broadcast to others also, that please do that. And that is how a devotee turns into a preacher. A person who surrendered turns into a preacher. Like, it's not that everybody who is in the prison is a prisoner. those who are acting on behalf of the king, they are not the prisoners. Similarly, in this material nature, those who are acting on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not imprisoned, or they are not bound, or they are not conditioned. They are liberated. Well, it's only a matter of time. And in due course of time, he will be freed from this material bondage altogether. As long as the material body is there, we have to be here. And when one becomes free from the material bondage, material body, he becomes free from material bondage and goes back to the spiritual sky. So Vedas are eventually leading to this point, which is finally presented in devotional service. So karma kanda, jnana kanda, bhakti. And when one comes to a platform of bhakti, then karma kanda and jnana kanda sections becomes irrelevant to him. He doesn't want to enjoy the material nature, nor does he want to become liberated from the material bondage. Therefore, for a devotee, both are irrelevant. And therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has been pointed out that karmakanda section and jnanakanda sections are two pots of poison. Karmakanda, jnanakanda, keboli bishero bhanda. Bisha means poison, bhanda means pot. Karmakanda section of the Vedas and jnanakanda sections are the two pots of poison. So the point is that if one thinks that karmakanda is the goal or jnanakanda is the goal, is missing the point. Omrita boliya jeba khai. Considering these two aspects of the Vedas, considering these two aspects of the Vedas to be amrit or nectar, if one drinks it, kadarjo bhakkhan kare, he drinks all kinds of abominable stuff. Nanajani brahman kare, he travels from different species of life. Tar janma adhopate jai. So in this way, in the Vedas, it has been very, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam has very clearly pointed out that the ultimate goal is devotion. Everything else is irrelevant. Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, jamimang pushpitang bacha. Pushpitang bacha, the flowery words of karmakanda. Do this and you'll get this. Like, as if that's the goal of life. But it deviates one, it diverts one from the main goal of his life. So bhakti is the way. Time and time again it has been pointed out, and we are very fortunate that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave us this wonderful nectarian process of devotional service directly. Yeah. Another thing is the other ages one had to gradually elevate from karmakanda to jnanakanda, then to bhakti. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave direct bhakti. That's the good fortune for the living entities of this age. And not only the direct bhakti, but he gave the bhakti of highest category, Braja Prem, which is Brahmara Durlabhu Prem Shabakare Jachi. It's rare to this Prem, this loving relationship with Krishna is rare even for Brahma. It's rare. What to speak of Brahma, it's rare even for Lakshmi Devi. But Shabakare Jachi, he's just going out of his way and distributing it, calling out to everybody, please take it, take it. That's the good fortune. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this Golokero Premodhan Harinam Sankirtan. Why Harinam Sankirtan? Because Harinam Sankirtan is the means to receive that prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought it down to this world. And then Srila Prabhupada distributed it all over the world. And with the passing of time, we are seeing this movement is growing. Krishna consciousness is spreading more extensively. So we don't know what's going to happen, but at least we know one thing, that it will spread all over the world in every town and village. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words can never go in vain. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then his words can never go in vain. Now it's up to us whether we accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead or not. If we accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we can close our eyes and broadcast that it will happen. It'll spread all over the world. Not all over the world, every town and village. So we got this good fortune, and we also have this wonderful opportunity to become engaged in this wonderful mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What a wonderful way to perfect our existence. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.